Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, the arrival of the King. In this passage, the King, Jesus, arrived in Jerusalem, but did not take his throne. He had other work to accomplish first, to deal with our sin. All four Gospels converge with this event at the entrance to Jerusalem, and together narrate the final movements of Jesus to the cross. He will one day return to sit on the throne. In the meantime, look at our text and see what it illustrates about Jesus. First of all, in this passage, Matthew 21, Jesus' deity is displayed, beginning with verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." If anyone says anything to you. Mark's record in Mark 11, verses 5 and 6, it records that someone did say something to them. In Mark 11:5, "But some of those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, loosening the colt?' And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go." There was no time to make prior arrangements. They just arrived in Bethphage. Jesus knew exactly where the animals were and the owner's personality. How did he know? Omniscience. He is God. He is the creator of all things. He is the owner of all things. Psalm 50, verse 10, reads that, "For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." Psalm 24, and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." 1 Kings, chapter 20, verse 3, the first part of it, "Your silver and your gold are mine." That means that all our possessions are really His, which is why He can call for a tithe from us. It's His stuff we're holding. Second, in this passage, Jesus' prophecy is fulfilled. Look at verses 4 and 5. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey.'" Compare this passage to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 11. "Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, 'Say to his daughter, to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him.'" Precise fulfillment of messianic prophecy would have caught the attention of the people. It is what they waited so long for. They responded with titles and accolades that only fit the Messiah. And third, in this passage, Jesus' identity is revealed. Look at verse 6 down to verse 11. "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their coats on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. The donkey and the colt. The mare donkey is only mentioned here in Matthew. She was probably brought so that the colt would respond better. Since both Mark and Luke record Jesus saying that no one had ever sat on the young donkey. Jesus rode on the colt. What a scene it was. People lined the way and threw clothing down on the road before him as he came. This was an ancient custom for paying homage to royalty. Look at 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps, and they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. The people all recognized his claim to be the king of the Jews. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is a quote from Psalm 118, verse 25. Hosanna means save now. They rejected Jesus several days later. Isn't that interesting? Because he did not deliver what the Jews wanted, to be free from the Romans, not from sin. The irony is that it was Lamb Selection Day, 5 days before Passover. They had chosen God's Passover lamb, unknowingly fulfilling God's plan. Blessed is he, combined with Son of David, made it clear they sincerely thought he was the promised, long-awaited Messiah. The date of this event was Sunday, the 9th of Nisan, in AD 30. Calendar changes for calculation issues place this date somewhere between AD 28 and AD 33. Exactly 483 years after King Artaxerxes' decree, just as Daniel had prophesied. At Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. 70 weeks. 7 weeks of... 70 weeks is weeks of years. 490 years. Notice that weeks of days are described differently. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Artaxerxes' decree was made in B.C. 453 and is recorded clearly in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, Why is your face sad since you're not sick? this is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the palace of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? And then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Calendar changes place this between B.C. 455 and B.C. 450. 7 weeks equals 49 years. Probably refers to the end of Nehemiah's work of rebuilding the walls and the streets during difficult times, and the end of Malachi's ministry and the close of the Old Testament. 62 weeks, it's 434 years. This brings the total to 483, the exact year of the first advent of the Messiah, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Then he was cut off, i.e. he was crucified. There's one missing week, 7 years. This is known theologically as the 70th week of Daniel, or the time of the Antichrist. It is the week of tribulation in Revelation. Daniel chapter 9, again, verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. As a type of the rise of the Antichrist, the Romans, where he'll come from, destroyed the temple and Jerusalem in AD 70. In amillennialism, those who do not believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, they believe that event is the fulfillment of the final 7 years of Daniel's 490 years. However, that is not possible since AD 70 is only several decades after AD 30 when the Messiah was cut off. The book of Revelation makes it clear that the 70th week occurs just prior to the return of Christ at the end time. Anyway, put aside the last 7 years for a moment. The 483 years take us from Artaxerxes' decree, which the religious leaders were aware of, to the exact moment Jesus entered Jerusalem, which the religious leaders could have calculated. Scripture says that Christ's return will occur as a thief in the night. It does not say that about his first arrival. The religious leaders should have known better than anyone when the Messiah would ride through that gate on a donkey. The problem? The wait for the Messiah had been so long that the leaders got used to life as it was. And when he came, they either could not or would not believe it. The leaders used religion and prophecy to control the people. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That attitude started long before the end times. God's word presents the record of Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation. Do not miss it like they did. you have a great day.